You are listening to the Polemics Report, a ministry designed to train the powers of your discernment with constant practice, that you might be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Listen, folks, we are in the modern day downgrade. The church has to wake up and realize that we've become theologically inept. We've got to become Bereans.
The downgrade is upon us. The walls are closing in. What will you do? And how will you stand? Stay tuned as answers are given for how you can withstand the modern-day downgrade. This is your polemicist, J.D. Hall.
Hello, and you are listening to Polemics Report Weekend Edition, the ministry designed to do what Hebrews 5 exhorts us to do, to train the powers of our discernment through constant practice so that we might be skilled in the word of righteousness. As Spurgeon said, discernment is not telling the difference between right and wrong, but between right and almost right. And there are a lot of things in American evangelicalism that are almost right. We engage in polemic theology, doing what Paul's instruction in 2 Timothy 4:2 would have us to do, to reprove and rebuke with patience and teaching. And you can listen to the regular Polemics Report on Sermon Audio or iTunes, or by going to polemicsreport.com. This week, charismatic Christian circles were abuzz with news that author of The Harbinger and The Mystery of the Shemitah is soon to release his new book, The Book of Mysteries. Of The Book of Mysteries, the Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, that's C-A-H-N, says it will take, quote, take the readers on a journey of divine revelation through ancient scriptures, the laws of creation, the deep truths of God's word, and the most important keys of spiritual truth and end time mysteries. Well, according to his website, the reader will discover life-transforming secrets, mind-blowing realities, a heart-changing revelation in such mysteries as the, quote, face in the waters, the leper king, the land of Gazara, the secret of the third prince, the house of spirits, the mystery of the rains, how to alter your past, the second scroll, the similitude, the mystery of the eighth day, and much more. The Book of Mysteries, it says, will take the reader on a journey of divine revelation. And like the other two books that initially made Jonathan Cahn famous, this book will explain, supposedly, things from Scripture that are hidden therein that will be valuable for America today. Charisma Mag, writing about Cahn's new book, says that this book will, quote, complement the success of his previous teachings. And by that, the Charismatic magazine doesn't mean success as in accuracy, but apparently in money made or books sold. But if Polemics Report has anything to do with it, along with discerning Christians like you who make up a portion of this listening audience, hopefully Jonathan Cahn's next book will not be a similar success. Let me explain what I mean. Jonathan Cahn, who calls himself a messianic rabbi whose credentials for the latter are dubious, wrote a book detailing 10 signs present before Israel's collapse, comparing them to 10 signs now present in America called The Harbinger. And with the success of that book, Cahn springboarded into a new divination, this time pulling from the Old Testament ceremonial law, the command in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, that the ground should lay fallow every 7 years, which was both agriculturally astute and required the Israelites to trust God for their provision in that seventh year. Debts were also to be canceled during that year as well, which was one of a number of safeguards against the holding of long-term debt in Israel's economy. This year was called the Shemitah year, meaning, quote, a releasing, referring to a release from debt, which Cahn has interpreted more ominously as a, quote, shaking. Doing the math, Cahn revealed that September 25th, 2014 to September 13th, 2015 is the Shemitah year. And here's where things get a little strange. Cahn argued in that book that God has given warnings to the United States in a 7-year cycle going back decades. He claimed that the Lord deals with nations on 7-year cycles like he did Israel. Things like stock market crashes, economic recessions, and so forth have happened in 7-year intervals as a warning that this very Shemitah year, now keep in mind that was 2015, would be God's final judgment on America. America has been unforgiving of debt and violating the Sabbath years, and so God is judging us in this year's Shemitah. That was his argument. And along with John Hagee's Four Blood Moons, the mysticism of these Hebrew roots-influenced Judaizers has mainstream evangelicalism lapping up their predictions like water. unlocking secrets, providing hidden keys, and unwrapping prophecies through astrology, stargazing, date setting, and omen interpretation seems to be the key to book sales as of late. Here's the problem, though. The Shemitah was an aspect of God's ceremonial law for the nation of Israel. Unlike the binding perpetuity of the moral law, the ceremonial law has been fulfilled in Jesus. It is no longer in force. The Shemitah, even while in force in Israel, was not applied to any other nation. The notion of God applying Israel's Old Testament ceremonial law to Gentile nations, either then or now, is pure fabrication. America is not some kind of second Israel. This is, frankly, a bizarre claim for a, quote, messianic Christian to make. Now, Charisma Mag predicted, quote, 10 things that are going to happen within 15 days of the end of the Shemitah. It was a list of a lot of coincidental things planned in the world's calendar. The author ends that article by writing, quote, I am fully convinced that the months ahead are going to dramatically change life in America. But those things didn't happen. Another false prophet bites the dust, I guess. WorldNet Daily discussed the strange signs on Shemitah's final days, only a few days past the Shemitah in 2015. Khan mentioned two signs, the collapse of a crane in Saudi Arabia and a rainbow in New York City. Both happened on September 11, and he said these were striking signs. Of course, they didn't come to fruition, and nothing happened. Khan, and that is spelled C-A-H-N and not C-O-N as you might expect, has been a repeated guest on Jim Baker's program, again explaining that the Shemitah would bring about effectively the end of America. And then, of course, Jim Baker sells his brand of survival food. And no, I'm not making that up. Frankly, the list goes on and on of people who've listened to Jonathan Cahn. They listened to him extensively in 2015, and yet nothing happened. Even though because of his book, the Times of India reported that 1 in 10 Google searches that year was for the word Shemitah. People were interested, but the prophecies fell flat. Not only did it not happen, but it didn't even come close to happening. Jonathan Cahn sold millions of dollars in books. Jim Baker sold some survival supplies. Charisma Mag got some real mileage out of the farce of the Shemitah. And now that the Shemitah is over, Jonathan Cahn has been proven to be a false prophet. And evangelicals have been made fools of once again. Here's the lesson. The Bible is sufficient. We need to stop chasing after prophecies. We need to stop buying for ourselves false prophets. Stop buying books that supposedly unlock secrets and reveal mysteries. And all of that gobbledygook. God doesn't hide things in the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation of himself to man. Hiding things in his revelation defeats the purpose of revelation. If someone says they've discovered something in Scripture that no one else in 2,000 years has discovered, they're wrong and trying to sell you something. Each and every last and lousy time, bank on it. Whether it's interpreting omens, using astrology, or looking at signs, all of these things, they're not Christianity. Rather, they're occultic. Friends, the Scripture is God's revelation of himself to us. It is, in its plainest sense, God showing himself. There is nothing hidden in the Scripture. The point of God giving us his 66 books is not to hide, but to reveal, to demonstrate, to illustrate, to show. And the moment someone comes along claiming to have found secret messages, secret codes, and hidden keys to this or that, to unlock this or that, you can bet your bottom dollar they want your bottom dollar, and they have something to sell. That those in charismatic circles and beyond would purchase a book from Cahn, given that his last prophecy was abundantly and demonstrably, unquestionably wrong, demonstrates just how foolish many Christian consumers are, and plagued with, unfortunately, short memories. We have the canon of Scripture. It's just that for the unregenerate heart, it's not as interesting as claims made by a fake rabbi and sold for $21.99 at Barnes & Noble. Well, in other news, you might have seen posted at the Drudge Report or other sites an article originally written by The Independent titled Free Will Could All Be an Illusion, Scientists Suggest, After Study Shows Choice May Just Be the Brain Tricking Itself. The article explains the subject matter referred to in the title. Humans are convinced that they make conscious choices as they live their lives. But instead, it may be that the brain just convinces itself that it made a free choice from the available options after the decision is made. The idea was tested out by tricking subjects into believing that they'd made a choice before the consequences of that choice could actually be seen. In the test, people were made to believe that they had taken a decision using free will, even though that was impossible. The idea that human beings trick themselves into believing in free will was laid out in a paper by psychologists Dan Wegner and Thalia Wheatley nearly 20 years ago. They proposed the feeling of wanting to do something was real, but there may be no connection between the feeling and actually doing it. Well, the author of this article, Andrew Griffin, continues to write that in one of the studies undertaken by Adam Baer and Paul Bloom of Yale University, the test subjects were shown five white circles on a computer monitor. They were told to choose one of the circles before one of them lit up red. Well, the participants were then asked to describe whether they'd picked the correct circle, another one, or if they hadn't had time to actually pick one. Statistically, people would have picked the right circle about one out of every five times. But they reported getting it right more than 20% of the time, going over 30% if the circle turned red very quickly. The scientists suggest that the findings show that the test subjects' minds were swapping around the order of events so that it appeared to them that they had chosen the right circle, even if they hadn't actually had time to do so. Scientists then claim that the mind really doesn't have free will, it is but mere an illusion. Well, does this study undo the common Christian conception of free will? Well, my answer is, I don't know, but it doesn't need to. The concept of free will needs to be on a Christian television show yet to be invented, entitled Biblical Mythbusters. The term free will is not in the Bible, and you can't find it. Of course, this doesn't mean the concept isn't present, to be fair, for words like the Trinity aren't contained in the Holy Script either, but the concept is abundantly and undeniably present. However, the concept alone of free will is questionable and deserves a place in the hall of busted Christian myths, along with dead people become angels and Peter was a pope. Some things may have a place in religious urban legend, but when facts are applied, well, oftentimes are proven not to be true. And so it is with the notion that free will is an essential Christian doctrine. Now, don't get me wrong. Free will is a doctrine because, well, it's taught. It's what I call the lost person's favorite doctrine because every sin, every transgression is blamed or excused by the existence of this thing called free will. But does the scripture really teach such a thing? Well, beyond a doubt, the Bible teaches us that humans have a will. We have choices, and they're real choices. We have, along with it, responsibility for our decisions, and we can make decisions. We are not robots, marionettes, or mindless puppets. Every mortal being has a will with which they make choices. However, the testimony of Scripture does not leave us believing that will is free. It exists, but it is tied to something. Like Luther taught in Bondage of the Will, our will is tied intrinsically to our nature. Man is free to do what it is within our nature that we desire to do. First, we need to understand what the Bible teaches regarding our depravity, or how it is that we're born. Romans chapter 6, verse 20, speaking to Christians in their former life, in other words, before they were saved, says, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness." In other words, before we're Christians, we're actually slaves to sin. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." What that means is we're born with a natural proclivity, and not only a natural proclivity, but a natural desire to sin. That is our nature. For example, the scripture teaches us that the heart set on flesh is at enmity with God. It does not obey God. Indeed, it cannot obey God. Friends, this is the whole point of the need for regeneration or rebirth. You see, we sin because it is, in an unregenerate, unborn-again nature, our desire to sin. This is why we must be given a new nature, one that does not enslave us to sin and to transgress God's law. In fact, if our will was free from the very beginning, we wouldn't need to be born again. But it's because our will is enslaved to sin that we need to receive what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24 tells us to receive, that we put on the new self, the one that is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me ask you, friend, has your nature been born again? have you been given a new nature in Jesus Christ, one in which you are now in Christ for the first time, truly free? Thank you for listening to the Polemics Report. Go to the website, polemicsreport.com. You can listen to the whole program on Sermon Audio or iTunes. God bless, and until next time, as always, Semper Reformanda. Shelter me, Lord.